Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, and this is your FT News Briefing. As lockdowns ease, investors are eyeing recovery. But what should we make of some of the other economic concerns on the horizon? Plus, investment-grade companies have taken advantage of low yields to raise an eye-catching amount of debt in the first 5 months of this year. And Elon Musk's SpaceX plans to send two NASA astronauts into space today. The FT's West Coast editor, Richard Waters, will explain what this means for commercial ambitions in the final frontier. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. Yesterday, the New York Stock Exchange trading floor partially opened up for the first time in 2 months. New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo rang the opening bell while wearing a mask. Roughly 100 traders, around a quarter of the usual amount, were assigned desks behind plexiglass screens. The reopening at the NYSE was one thing, but the sense that similar efforts were happening in workplaces and shops elsewhere in the world lifted global stocks yesterday. The FT's Philip Stafford explains what investors have been paying attention to, even in the face of some other looming economic threats.
Right now in markets, there are several themes that are really going around. There's a sense that, first of all, we are potentially through the worst of it, not on the way up, but it certainly isn't going to get an awful lot worse than it was in March and April, and that perhaps as economies begin to ease the lockdown very gently, that therefore means that this quarter will be better than the last quarter and the next quarter will be better again. That said, this is still very early days, and in all likelihood, if you're going to actually see a return of the virus, that's still some weeks ahead. Furthermore, I mean, this is also the nature of markets to look 6 to 9 months into the future. When you're looking at where you would park your cash, the investors are looking around and seeing that treasuries are, and the yields on treasuries are still very low and are not likely to go anywhere. Interest rates are close to zero. They're not going to go anywhere. And when you look at where do you park your cash, then you kind of sort of fall back on the same sort of thoughts that have really been flowing around the market for the past few years, and one of which has, of course, been go to equities.
Okay, Philip, but how do we square that idea with some of the other concerns on the horizon? Scientists aren't writing off a second round of coronavirus lockdowns, not to mention concerns over escalating tensions with the U.S. and China and the fallout, of course, of China's move on national security legislation with Hong Kong. So with all of these things still very much in play, will investors stay optimistic?
Most economies have and countries that have unveiled very, very extensive spending plans in order to protect their citizens' incomes, to protect businesses. One of the issues had always been, well, will investors take up the bonds that will be required to pay for it? And every indication is that yes, they are. Furthermore, central banks have also indicated that they're nowhere near out of ammunition in terms of maybe expanding their balance sheet, buying up bonds. So the fact that markets are going up by, you know, maybe 1.5-2% every day or couple of days would suggest that enthusiasm isn't rampant. It is human nature to be look more on the optimistic side, but you can sort of understand why people are looking at the markets this way.
And the low interest rates that Philip mentioned, they have helped investment-grade borrowers raise considerable debt in the bond market this year. More than $1 trillion. That's how much highly rated companies have borrowed in the last 5 months as they try to strengthen their balance sheets. The likes of Disney, ExxonMobil, and Apple have all padded their war chest, bracing for the coronavirus economic downturn. Companies have used the funds to pay back emergency credit lines. They've also tried to replenish their cash, given that lockdowns hit a lot of their income. According to data from Refinitiv, the $1 trillion threshold that's already been hit this year outpaces the $540 billion raised last year. And it's closing in on the $1.3 trillion full-year average over the past 5 years. This includes the debt financial institutions have raised in 2020. The biggest deal came from Boeing, which raised $25 billion in the market. Now, if you want to know how they're able to pull this off, look no further than central banks. Big support packages from around the world have helped keep conditions stable in the past few months. The Federal Reserve cut its target interest rate to between 0.25%. That helped to drag down the average yield on investment-grade bonds. It means that some companies have even managed to cut their borrowing costs compared to what they had to pay before the pandemic. The U.S. Central Bank is also expected to soon begin buying individual corporate bonds to further support the market. Meanwhile, lower-rated, high-yield bonds have been issued at a gentler pace, $123 billion so far this year compared to $99 billion over the same period last year. And here's a closer look at a story we're following. Space, the final frontier. It's mostly been dominated by science fiction movies and explored by governments. But if the weather holds up in Florida today, another group will join the ranks of space exploration: private companies. SpaceX, Elon Musk's space company, will launch two NASA astronauts in a spacecraft on top of one of its Falcon 9 rockets. If all goes according to plan, it'll be the first human test flight on a commercial rocket to reach the International Space Station. It'll also signal a breakthrough for the private space industry as a whole. And as the FT's West Coast editor, Richard Waters, explains, this journey reflects a change in how NASA is approaching the future of low Earth orbit.
There's been a complete sea change in the U.S. government's attitude to space in the last decade. Two decades ago, when the first private citizen, an American called Dennis Tito, wanted to go into space as a space tourist, NASA refused to train him and tried to stand in the way, really objected to this. What's happening now is completely night and day. NASA has realized that its real mission is exploration, is reaching Mars, is getting humans back to the moon, these kind of much bigger, far-flung missions. Its job is not to put people into low Earth orbit up to the International Space Station. You know, I mean, this is no longer rocket science, to use an expression. This is known technology. NASA and other governments have pioneered this technology. It's ready to be handed off to the private sector to be turned into a business.
How will the private sector's involvement in space travel affect the cost of sending a person into space?
This is really the most important issue over the next decade. The price has to come down for space to become, you know, the real commercial proposition that a lot of people think it could be. Right now, the price is astronomically high. It's gone up to nearly $100 million just because there are so few ways of getting there and so many governments that want to put their own astronauts into space. The NASA plan has been to create a competitive market. So while it's SpaceX that's going up this week, Boeing has also built a private spacecraft. It's had a few teething problems, but it might go up next year. And there are other companies waiting to do the same. So the hope here, you know, experts I talk to think that the price could fairly quickly drop below $50 million. But it's if it falls much further than that, it gets really interesting. You know, that when the commercial sector is involved and we don't, not everything is being done on very expensive government contract, spaceflight could be more routine. It could be a lot cheaper. And if the price comes down below $10 million in the next decade, which some people think is possible, I think it just opens up space to a lot of people.
Great. Well, I'll be sure to book my ticket.
You should.
Richard, are there any concerns about the private sector having so much power? And do you think the excitement over the potential of what these private companies can do in terms of space travel outweighs this concern?
I think in many ways, you know, it's kind of cliched to compare this to the opening up of the Western frontier in the US, but there are some very, very close parallels. You have this very close association of commercial and government interest in expanding the horizon. And the US needs to find reasons to incentives to get commercial companies to explore and open up new frontiers in space. We saw it last month, the Trump administration passed an executive order, which has essentially made it easier for private companies to claim resources on the moon. Now you might say, well, when's that ever going to happen? Well, quite soon, possibly, because, you know, sending probes to the moon is getting much easier. If you can mine water on the moon and use that to create rocket fuel, it becomes a massively valuable resource. So I think what we're seeing here is government and commercial organizations moving together. I think they feel they've got something that works now.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.